evening, everyone. Welcome to the City Council meeting, City of Arroyo Grande, for Tuesday, March 27th. Roll call, please.
Council Bar Member Costello.
Here.
Council Bar Member Guthrie.
Here.
Council Bar Member Fellows.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Vice Chair Arnold.
Here.
And Mayor Chair Farrar.
Here. Thank you. Item 3 is our flag salute, and we're privileged this evening to have Boy Scout Troop Number 13 here. I think they're here.
I think that's the fire department.
No, they're not here. Okay, then I will do the flag salute. And if you would remain standing, Pastor Randy Wimette is here from St. John's Lutheran Church, and he is going to do our invocation this evening. And he is also the City of Arroyo Grande Fire Department chaplain. So if you would please stand and join me in the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let us pray. Gracious Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather tonight, and we ask your blessing upon our city council and our whole city as we deliberate. May your spirit so guide the words and thoughts and actions tonight. We also ask your blessing upon us as we enter this new chapter in the life of our fire department, our building department. We thank you for sending to us as our new leader, Chief Mike Hubert, and we ask for your guidance, your spirit, that we might work together as one, and that the city will increase in not only in safety, but also in spirit. We also thank you for this cooperation, working together with Grover Beach Fire Department, and may that continue, O Lord, by your guidance, to be a fruitful and effective and efficient operation. So bless us and this future together in this new chapter. In your holy and precious name we pray. Amen.
As most of you know, we've been engaged in a fairly intensive recruitment process the last several months to fill the vacancy of fire chief, and it has been a rather comprehensive recruitment effort, and several qualified candidates, came forward, and through that recruitment process, we were able to select what we felt was the very best, and so this evening, I have the privilege of presenting the badge for fire chief, for our new fire chief. And before I do that, I would like to invite Mayor Steve Lieberman to come up here and join me. And as perhaps everyone in the room realizes, our administration is shared by the cities of Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande, so it's fitting that Steve is here to join us tonight. Because we do indeed share the fire chief, and I would at this time like to invite Michael Hubert to come forward. And Michael, we're not going to draw this out, okay. But we've had a chance to chat, and I think the council is convinced that through this process, Steve and the folks who sat on the selection boards have made a tremendous choice in Michael. He comes to us from the city of Poway, which is down towards San Diego. He has a ton of experience. I think he's going to do extremely well here for us. We're excited to have him here. And Steve, would you like to just say a quick word? He's got bronchitis, so.
But I'm feeling better and I can talk a lot. No, I'd like to thank the City of Arroyo Grande and the Council and Mayor Tony for inviting me up here, because it truly is a great moment for our joint operating agreement in our two cities. And I'm so excited to have gotten the opportunity to get to know Chief Hubert a little bit and look forward to working with him in the future. I know in hearing from the personnel that are working on the floor, they're very excited at this new change and the future of our organization. So welcome, Chief.
Thank you.
Well, Michael, without further, it's a pleasure to present this badge to you. And let's see, do I have to pin this on? I do. Sure you don't want to. I think we should have Mike's wife come up here and do the honors. Yeah, you can do it.
Good, yeah.
Okay. I'm also told that before we turn the microphone over to Mike to say a few words, that we have a message from the firefighters. Kevin McLean, would you like to come up and say a few words?
Well, Chief, a week ago we promised you a gift, and it's no longer in the mail, so here it is. On behalf of everyone at the Royal Grande Fire Department, I'd like to present you with the belt buckle we ordered you.
Oh, thank you.
And we look forward to working with you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. Thanks a lot. Mayors and councils, thank you so much for the opportunity to represent your communities. I greatly appreciate it. I'd like to express my appreciation to City Manager Steve Adams and Bob Peralt for having the confidence in selecting me. And I want to tell you that just in my brief experience here, what a wonderful group of dedicated professionals you have in your employees from both communities. They're just so far so good. And I promise you that I will give them, your communities, all my dedication and energy to move the fire service and your departments forward. So thank you.
Thank you. Okay. I'm trusting that everyone's going to stay intact for our second presentation, right? Okay. Once again, we have the privilege, and we do this every year, and we enjoy doing these presentations. I'd like to ask Maddie Quaglino to come up. Maddie, how are you this evening? We have an honorary proclamation for you this evening, and this is a proclamation declaring April 2007 as the Month of the Child and Child Abuse Prevention Month. And so, if you'll endure me here for a moment, I'll read these whereases. And the proclamation states, whereas Saturday, April 14th, 2007, will commemorate the 29th Annual Day of the Child celebration during Children's Day in the San Luis Obispo Mission Plaza, where children and families interact with the agencies and programs providing services throughout the county. And whereas the Month of the Child and Child Abuse Prevention Month is a time to recognize children, April will provide an opportunity to acknowledge early child care and education programs and to raise the awareness of the community, employers, elected officials of the need to improve the quality, availability, and accessibility of such programs. Now, therefore, be it resolved that I, Tony Ferrara, Mayor of the City of Arroyo Grande, on behalf of the City Council, do hereby proclaim April 2007 as the Month of the Child and Child Abuse Prevention Month, and April 14th, 2007 as the Day of the Child. And we may remember to listen to and watch the children around us, to have patience, and to allow them the opportunity to enjoy the journey of childhood. Maddie, it's a pleasure to present this to you.
Thank you very much.
And you're up here with some helpers, so feel free. The microphone is yours.
Well, thank you very much. With me tonight is Diana Smith, and she's one of our pre-K teachers, and also Melissa Ferrari Chapman, and she's one of our toddler teachers, and they have a gift to give to the council members. They have pins from the Child Care Planning Council and ribbons and events that will be happening in the county. What I want to say for our program, we are a new program in the area. We are 18 months old, and we started in September with 25 children, and now we have 45 children. And our program is growing just like the community is growing. And because of the growth, we've established a renovation fund for our play yard. So we are wanting to raise $20,000 to improve our facility for the benefit of the children and the families that we serve. So we have an event coming up in May. May 12th, we're having a Mother's Day tea and auction. So we welcome the community to come and see our center and see what we have to offer the community. And also, on behalf of Month of the Young Child, we're having an open house on April 26th from 6:30 to 8, and we welcome you to come and see our program. We serve 18 months to 5 years old.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Okay. Every time we get to item six, everybody leaves. Thanks for being here, guys. Okay, we will move on to item six, which is agenda review. Move that all ordinances presented tonight be read in title only and all further readings be waived.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. That'll take us to item seven. Please address the council as a whole. Anyone would like to come up? Again, items not on this evening's agenda. If you would please just state your name.
My name is Linda Shepherd, and I live on Linda Drive. And I have two concerns regarding the expansion of the center around Trader Joe's. One of them, actually, it started when I walked into the pet store that is down in the Spencer Center and realized that they are selling dogs and cats in there. And I thought that was kind of an archaic thing that was long gone. And it's my understanding that Petco is intending to sell dogs and cats. And I just have a major concern about that. Apparently, Petco in San Luis does not, which means their council must have an ordinance against doing that. I thought something like that might already be in place. Each year, right now, my most recent statistics show that over 5 million dogs and cats are killed in our country. Euthanized is not even a kind word. They're killed. And so I have some concerns about the selling of them in a pet store. The woman at the pet store in the Spencer Center said they are purebreds, but they have no papers. Well, it doesn't work like that. And so in doing quite a bit of research about dogs and cats that are sold in pet stores, they are of unknown origin. The buyer can never know where they came from or under what circumstances they were born and raised. And it would be interesting to know what happens to the dogs and cats who are not that are not saleable. Do they become part of that 5 million? So I do have some major concerns about that. Not a pet store, that's okay. I think perhaps one on both sides of the freeways is fine, but I really do have some concerns about selling dogs and cats. My second concern, and I did get some information from Mr. Devens. I live on Linda Drive, and for the many years since Linda Drive became a through street that joins Bennett to join Halcyon and Briscoe, water flows from the cemetery, from someplace in the cemetery, we weren't sure where, flows out to Bennett, comes around to Linda, and goes into storm drains. I walk my dog, I am a dog owner, frequently and often go through the cemetery, and I found that on any given day of the week, water is actually flowing so that it is covering the one road that comes from Briscoe that circles through the cemetery all the way to Bennett, and the water flows down through that area and come have once a big section of that area will be asphalted and a big building on it, so water that would normally be absorbed in the ground would then become part of the storm drain flow as to how much is flowing above the surface. Remember, it's not just at rainy time. Water flows during the year. I do understand also, Mr. Devens said, water is diverted from Briscoe Road and from like farm supply into that, it's like a reservoir or a cistern, and then it is released to flow above ground into storm drains. So I just have some real concerns about where the water that will now flow off the area that will soon be paved over, where is it going to go? I'm looking for any answers, just raising some concerns that I really would like for you to address when indeed the Planning Commission sends whatever their results are to you as to what's going to happen across the street from me. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. Anyone else? Items not on this evening's agenda. Okay. Seeing no one else, we will close community comments and suggestions. This will take us to item 8, which is our consent agenda. The consent items that you see published on your agenda are normally approved in one action by the council unless there are individual items on the consent agenda that an individual member of the council would like to pull for further clarification or separate action. This evening, we're talking about items 8A through 8L. This is also an opportunity for the public to comment on the agenda items that you see published. And I would invite any member of the public who would like to come up at this time and make a comment on consent items 8A through 8L to please come forward. And if you would, once again, be aware of the three-minute rule. Anyone on the consent agenda?
Steve Ross, 211 Garden Street. I was wondering if it'd be possible on item 8D, which is the tree ordinance, amended tree ordinance, if that could maybe be explained a little bit to the public as to exactly what that is going to entail. Thank you.
8D?
Sure. This is actually the tree ordinance that was put in place several months ago. And it was a revision. You can come up, Doug. And it was a revision from a prior ordinance. This particular amendment strictly is limited to trying to close a loophole that was identified regarding when a tree is removed because it is dead. And currently, there was no. When a tree is removed, we require mitigation or. In other words, a replacement of the tree. So really the only thing this ordinance does is also require a replacement tree when a tree is removed that's a regulated tree. When a dead tree is removed, then it requires a replacement of that tree. And that's really the gist of the entire change.
Okay.
In lieu fee, it was not included. Staff had been asked to research that. Staff has recommended that an lieu fee not be established, and I haven't heard back from any request yet to rediscuss that, but that may come up later.
Okay. Any other comments on the consent agenda? All right. If not, I will entertain a motion to approve consent items 8A through 8L.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and we have a second. Any discussion? Anything to read in there? I think there is tonight.
Yes, as was just discussed, item 8D is an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Rio Grande amending portions of Chapter 12.16 of Title 12 of the Rio Grande Municipal Code relating to the Community Tree Program.
Okay. Thank you, Tim. Roll call, please.
Council Board Member Fellows.
Yes.
Council Board Member Guthrie?
Yes.
Council Board Member Costello?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Vice Chair Arnold?
Yes.
And Mayor Chair Farrar?
Yes. Okay, that takes us to item 9, public hearings. We have none this evening. Item 10 is continued business. 10A is consideration to remove the existing stop sign and crosswalk on James Way at the intersection of Hidden Oak Road. Mike.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of council. Tonight we're presenting for your consideration the adoption of a resolution to remove the existing stop signs, advanced lighting assemblies, and the crosswalk on James Way at the Hidden Oak Road intersection. Accepted our recommendation and advised the installation of a stop sign and crosswalk at James Way at Rodeo Drive. And this was actually accomplished earlier this year. It is now in force. And as part of that recommendation, they recommended removing the existing stop signs, crosswalk, and stop sign on James Way at the Hidden Oaks Road. And the reason for this was that when the Village Glen subdivision first went in, as a condition of the development, they were required to put in a three-way stop at Hidden Oaks Road with a crosswalk to support a future school site, elementary school, for the Hidden Oaks Elementary School. That's what it is. Yes. And so in keeping with the requirements, it would put in a yellow crosswalk, and they had advanced warning lights on each side to alert people. But since that time, they actually did bid the project. That's correct. It's coming back. They bid the project and determined that it was too expensive and that there wasn't enough support in terms of the number of children that would be going to that. And so they determined at that time not to proceed with the construction of that project. With the school project. This is the vicinity map showing Rodale Drive, as you can see here, James Way at Rodale. This is the particular intersection in question, Hidden Oaks Road. As you can see, Village Glen Drive connects to Hidden Oak Road and actually terminates at James Way further to the south. We took the Traffic Commission's recommendation to the Council on June 28, 2005. The Council approved the resolution to install the crosswalk and stop signs on James Way and Rodale Drive, but considering the input of several residents of the Village Glen development, and also based on the fact that there were still some discussions by the Lucia Mahler School District with some other school facilities, it was unknown at that time whether there would be future development on that site that would require the crosswalks to still remain in force. So the council determined at that time to forego. They agreed to put the crosswalk in at James Way and Rodale, but to keep the Hidden Oak crosswalk in place at that time. Since that time, we've contacted the Lucia Mahler School District, and they have no plans to do any development of the site.
10A, this would be an opportunity for you to do so. And again, we would ask you to be mindful of the three-minute rule. Please come forward and state your name.
Good evening, Council. My name is Cade Newman, and I am a homeowner of the Village Glen subdevelopment. I'm here tonight to speak on behalf of the Village Glen Homeowners Association, its board of directors, and 38 out of the 39 homeowners in our neighborhood. It is our belief that the proposed changes would represent a significant safety risk to the 81 adults and 38 children living in our neighborhood, as well as those traveling along James Way. In a past letter sent to the City of Arroyo Grande Traffic Commission, we detailed our perception that drivers are going faster along James Way than is safe at the present time. We understand the challenge of improving traffic safety while maintaining the basic mobility necessary for access to all properties. This is a valued mission to enhance the quality of life on our residential streets. The Arroyo Grande Residential Street Speed Control Policy delineates the following objectives: reduce vehicle speeds, reduce traffic collisions, eliminate potential conflicts between automobiles and pedestrians, eliminate the perception of unsafe conditions on residential streets, and maintain adequate access to neighborhoods. We believe retaining the stop sign on James Way meets the above objectives, and we would also suggest that the proposed change be postponed until there has been a final determination on the development of the Hidden Oaks school site. One of our board members has been in contact with Kevin Baker, Lucia Mahler's Director of Facilities, Maintenance, and Operations, who stated that the school district has several questions and issues that they would like to address before the removal of the stop sign takes place. He does not have a problem with the removal of the flashing lights at this time. Apparently, according to Mr. Baker, it has not been determined yet whether or not there will be a school. That's my understanding. We would also like to call your attention to the need to stripe the area along James Way between Hidden Oak and Tally Ho as an additional safety concern. It's the only area of James Way from Pismo Beach to Arroyo Grande that is in need of repair and lane striping. The potential increase in speed coupled with the limited visibility from the north dramatically increases the risk factors. The specific risks associated with making a left-hand turn on James Way may result in a life-threatening accident. Therefore, the Board of Directors and the residents of Village Glen are formally advising each of you that we are opposed to the proposed change to the Hidden Oak Road intersection. When we purchased our homes, the stop sign was part of our overall consideration of safety, as was the school for a lot of us with young children. And while the school board has concerns about future projects that would affect the safety of the children in their charge, our concerns are more immediate. Our concerns are...
You see how it curves there? On the top, between Rodeo and Hidden Oak. When the cars leave Rodeo, by the time they get to Hidden Oak, they have to make a little bit of a turn, and if that stop sign was not there, they would pick up the speed, and it would just be a, a really horrendous thing going down that hill. And if you've traveled Jamesway, you know that you can build up a lot of speed going south on that road. And I also would like to remind you that that stop sign was estimated to be around $40,000, which was included in the cost of our homes. And Steve Hawk wrote a letter into the meeting it was in 2005, which determined that the valuation of our homes could be impacted by the action and assumes that it's only a 1% change in valuation, which means that $9,000 was charged to each individual person who purchased in there for that sign. And in addition to that, if you did remove the sign, which was $40,000 at that time, if you in the future have to replace that sign, it's going to be a lot more than $40,000, and it seems rather foolish to remove something if you may in the future have to replace it again. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else who would like to come forward on this item? No one else?
Steve Ross, 211 Garden Street, and I'm on the Arroyo Grande Traffic Commission that advised the removal of the stop sign. I travel James Way at least twice a day, every day, oftentimes more than that. I don't see that it would be a problem with people speeding necessarily coming down that hill. It is not that steep. Until you get down towards Colina. From Colina down to the bottom of the hill, it is quite a bit steeper. Part of my concern is that that particular stop sign and light fixture is an unwarranted stop sign, according to Caltrans. Redundant stop signs are known to cause additional pollution by cars having to stop and start in an area that isn't required. I believe also that there is plenty line of sight to meet any Caltrans or city line of sight from that intersection, so that it is not a dangerous intersection as far as line of sight goes for vehicles. If we were to remove the stop sign, we would want to remove this crosswalk on James Way, not that on Hidden Oaks, because the city's policy would be not to have an unprotected crosswalk whenever possible. Those were my concerns over it, and thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
My name is James LeGrand, and before we moved here, we lived 36 years in the same house in a small town in Placentia, California. I never attended one single meeting in 36 years because I didn't have to. I didn't have a need, but I feel that need now for safety. I live at just above the street there, which is James Way and Hidden Oak Road, and I'm out there in my yard every single day, every day, and I see people going 40, 50 miles an hour, and some of them don't even bother to stop at the sign. On our way down here tonight, we had to stop quickly because someone ignored the sign and went right smack in front of us, and I really feel strongly about this for your consideration, not to remove the sign. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Seeing no one else, we will close public comment on 10A. Bring this back to the council. Councilmember Fellows, why don't you start us off this evening with 10A?
I have a question for our Public Works Director. There was some correspondence, I think, that led up to this tonight, this decision to be made tonight, from one of the neighbors who quoted the I guess Mike would be the best person to answer the question. He's the one that replied to it. Stating the traffic code sections that apply to stop signs, redundant stop signs, and so on. Sign it that we're talking about removing, and the other, also the other sign at Colina.
Yes, I do have the letter. Do you want me to start from the start of the letter, or just the spots that happened
just,
in a particular intersection?
Yeah, read the define the sections, if you would. Would that be sufficient?
Yeah, if you could, just to refresh my memory as to what's the pertinent information regarding placing stop signs.
What we said was consideration of a stop sign involves an engineering study, which are performed in accordance with the Manual on Uniform Traffic Control Devices, Section 28.07, for multi-way stop applications. And on that, I could go into a description of what that is. Which part?
Well, the person that wrote the letter, and I believe it was confirmed by the vehicle code, said that stop signs are not to be used to slow traffic. We have other devices to slow traffic. Could you refresh my memory and read that portion of it?
That is true. It's not. I'd have to find that specific portion of the code, but it's not recommended for that. It's not prohibited, but it's not recommended that it's for speed control. But normally the warrants, if I just summarized it real briefly, mm-hmm. The warrants are that you try to control the traffic flow. And so you're combining you're trying to control relatively equal volumes of traffic. Mm-hmm. And that's what we don't have at this location. If there was the same number of vehicles coming off of Hidden Oak Road that we had on James Way, which as you can see there's only about 24, 25 houses north of that, it doesn't generate nearly enough traffic.
As I recall, it said using a four-way stop is only warranted or recommended when you have equal amounts of traffic from all four sides.
Correct.
And in this case, there's a lot of traffic on James Way. I'm part of that. But there, in my recollection, is very little traffic coming out of either Colina or Hidden Oak Way.
That's right. Correct. That's correct.
All right. Thank you. Ms. Mayor, are you looking for comments also?
Well, I'm looking for comments and your position on this.
I know it's a very emotional issue, and I know the folks that live up in that Hidden Oaks development are very sensitive to this. So I spent quite a bit of time, gone up there, looked at the line of sight coming out of Hidden Oaks. Many, many times in the past, I don't know, I've been up and down James Way hundreds of times, and when this thing up and down the street, redundant stop signs, as has been mentioned, are a pollution problem, and they also, I think, lead to people ignoring stop signs if there's too many stop signs. Maybe there's a need for the city to use other traffic calmers instead of stop signs, which they're not supposed to use to slow traffic down, and I can support the Traffic Commission's recommendation to remove this particular stop sign. The stop sign on James Way, the two-way stops, but not the stop sign coming out of Hidden Oak. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Guthrie.
I too did go up here and take a look at the line of sight issues here and agree with Councilman Fellows here that in fact these are reasonable line of sight. I think if we were to follow the logic of putting stop signs in other locations that are similar to this, we would end up with many, many more stop signs around town, particularly where we have even higher traffic counts than are on James Way. The traffic counts here on James Way was built, obviously, to carry a lot more traffic than it's carrying at this point. And that's really the reason people drive too fast. This really should have been built this wide, but it should have had some other connections to it. So I can support staff's position and the commission's position here because I think we have – if we were to follow the logic of this without the school in place, there's no reason for the stop sign to be here.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Costello.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I too have to concur with what we've heard discussed. The main intention of that stop sign was put in there was to be a protective measure for the school site and for the traffic that would be generated by that. The lines of sight are apparently adequate at that intersection to not have stop signs on James Way. James Way is intended to be a major collector at that point, and traffic should be flowing along. However, if we're having excessive speed issues there, I would strongly recommend that the other traffic calming measures be pursued, and whatever measures need to be taken. But I don't believe that the stop sign for the through traffic on James Way is an appropriate measure at this point. And I can support removal of the stop signs from James Way and leaving the stop sign on Hidden Oaks Drive.
Right now, is that correct?
That's true, and I don't know where the $40,000 figure came from. But if you had to install it brand new, obviously you'd have to trench into the pavement and put conduit. That in itself is very expensive. Since that's already been performed, basically you're just taking out the fixture at this time. You might have to run some new conductors, but it could be put in place fairly easily.
Okay, that's what I thought. When this issue came before us last year, I believe it was, or the year before, I actually at that time supported the removal of the stop signs because basically the logic was with Rodeo going through now, actually with Grace Lane coming in, that is going to become a much heavier intersection, and now Grace Lane is actually being built. So for me, I voted to delay at the time was because there was some concern that there may be a school coming. At this point, I think we are definitely into the very distant future if we're going to see a school site there, with the fact that Lucia Marr at this point is really not looking to use the site, and some of the other sites or schools that we thought might come in there have elected to, at this time, not to come there. So I definitely am not in favor of seeing stop signs used as traffic calming devices. If we use the sight of line and the concern with James Way, I live off of Equestrian, and I can tell you that there we are at the bottom of the hill with people coming down the hill, and so the speed is much faster. And I wouldn't want to see that a stop sign there any more than I want to see here. And there we really don't have any calming. So I think following Councilman Guthrie's logic is that if we were to set this as kind of the standard where we're going to apply a stop sign to slow down traffic, we would see an inordinate a number of additional stop signs in the city. So I can support removal of this today. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Well, it appears that I'm going to be all by my lonesome tonight. I have a bit of a different take on this, and admittedly some biases, because I'm still amazed at the fact that the plan for that school got sidetracked, and I will continue to question the logic of Lucia Marr as to why the school is not being built. We worked long and hard at the school district's insistence to find a location for an elementary school on the east side of 101. We worked with a developer for months on end to going to be built. Those homes were sold with the idea in mind that a school was in fact going to be located. So families moved into that neighborhood. Families with children moved into that neighborhood. So they're there. Now, whether the parents drive them to or let them walk to Hidden Oaks or drive them to another school, which is now the case, it seems as though the traffic, you know, might well be not quite as bad, but it could well be generated. And I'm not asking here for this to be a standard. And this comes back to, I guess, my whole issue with stop signs. And I understand the concept of the warrants, and the Mayor Pro Tem and I have wrestled with this a couple of times. I'm not asking for a standard here, but when we don't meet the standards, I believe there is room in the codes for mitigating circumstances such as safety. And if you take a broad look at that location up there and you factor in the fact that we do have a lot of families living in and around that particular location, we have Rancho Grande Park right across the street. So it seems as though it takes an act of Congress to get a stop sign put in. And I'm very reluctant to take one out just because we don't have right now a particular school site in mind. We don't have right now circulation to support it. I believe that there are mitigating factors, and safety is one of them. And I don't believe in establishing a, quote, standard for stop signs. That's why we have the flexibility, if you will, to apply other factors other than traffic volume. If there are mitigating factors, we can cite those, and they can be used to determine whether or not it's appropriate to have stop signs there. As far as the flashing light is concerned, if the flashing light is a nuisance, if that's what's really causing the problem here, I don't have an issue removing the flashing light and plugging it. But the stop sign and the crosswalk, I will not support removing it at this time. James Way has been problematic. I used to live up there and drove it many, many times every day. A friend of our family was killed on James Way. There are speed issues. There are safety issues. And so I'm not, you know, I'm not.
To the traffic calming measures, I think when we considered this the first time, there were several traffic calming measures specifically with the end, with the roads that enter into Rancho Grande Park. I do want to say that I think in the long run that's the answer here is actually to reduce speed on James Way by narrowing it down, which is actually what was proposed there, created access for all the children in that neighborhood to have access to the park that's directly across the street. They were asking for the stop sign. The stop sign, as you say, couldn't be put in. We didn't support putting in a stop sign there, just as we can't support putting in a stop sign here. But I do think in the long run, we should be looking at traffic calming measures all along James Way, at least up until you get to Camino Mercado, where we actually have significantly higher traffic volumes from there to James Way. So I realize that that's somewhere off in the future, and I do think we want to study the speeds there, but I do think ultimately that's going to be the solution here and not a series of stop signs. Thank you.
And actually, could I add one thing, too?
Sure.
One of my thoughts actually is with safety as well, and I think actually one of the speakers mentioned it, is right now there is a problem with people running that stop sign. And the concern is if there's a stop sign and your belief is that people are actually going to stop, you have an expectation that you can pull out into the intersection. If there isn't a stop sign there, obviously you're going to be much more careful when you pull out. And my concern is that we've actually had several people citing the fact that they've seen people running that stop sign. And so that is my concern as well, is that I believe it's actually an unsafe condition right now for people to assume that everyone's going to stop and they don't.
Okay, well, I'm having a bit of a problem following that logic, but that's your opinion. Anyone else? Comments?
What kind of traffic accident records do we have on that stretch of road?
Actually, for the last 3 years, there's been no accidents. There was an accident, I believe, in 2004. There was two at the Hidden Oaks intersection. But since that time, our records have not shown any.
Okay, any other comments?
We're looking for a motion here.
If there are no further comments, then I will entertain a motion on 10A.
Good. I'll make a motion to pass a resolution of the City Council.
I'm against using stop signs for what they're not supposed to be used for, but I definitely think we should be looking at traffic calming on James Way.
I was going to just
or just follow it.
Just use his council comment at the end that we'd ask you to come back with, to take a look at that and come back with as a future council item. Can we do that here as well as it?
Either way would be fine.
You can
I think
it in the
we
motion.
Have some options.
It'd probably be cleaner if you included it in the motion.
Okay. Well, then why don't we include as part of the motion that we're requesting that staff review traffic calming possibilities, for lack of a better word. On James Way between Camino Mercado and Tally Ho.
Second's okay with that. Thank you.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, roll call.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
Councilmember Fellows?
Yes.
Councilmember Costello?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Arnold?
Yes.
And Mayor Ferrara?
No. Okay. That takes us to Item 11, 11A, is consideration of a proposed ordinance amending Chapter 2.28.050D. Senior Advisory Commission. Hello, Doug. How are you tonight?
Mr. Mayor, City Council, I'm honored to be here again tonight. You have before you a recommendation to introduce an ordinance amending the Aurora Grande Municipal Code to allow the Senior Advisory Commission by resolution to adopt rules and regulations to govern meetings. The commission now meets quarterly. However, due to lack of new agenda items, they prefer to meet as needed as opposed to on quarterly. At one time, they actually met every month, but again, due to lack of agenda items, they've reduced the number of meeting dates per year. This amendment would provide the Senior Advisory Commission the flexibility to establish meeting dates and times without having to introduce additional ordinance amendments. The commission reviewed and recommended the ordinance amendment at its March 7 meeting. There would be no adverse fiscal impact. In fact, there would be a reduction of staff time since we'd only be doing agendas as necessary instead of quarterly. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions the council may have.
Well, I just wanted to, before we go to questions, I just wanted to sort of amplify on Doug's report.
That again by resolution instead of having to reintroduce ordinance changes, right, or amendments.
Okay. Very good. Any questions on this staff report? Okay. Members of the audience, Steve, any comments on 11A? Okay. We'll bring this back for discussion and action. Councilmember Costello.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think we have discussed this at an earlier date and the reasons why. I think that it's a very rational, logical step to take, giving the Senior Advisory Commission the ability and flexibility that they need to regulate their agenda and calendar, and I can support this completely.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Fellows.
I can, too.
Okay. Councilmember Guthrie.
Yeah, no problem supporting this
as well. Mayor Pro Tem.
No issues either.
Okay. Make it unanimous, and I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Mayor, I move we adopt an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Rio Grande amending Section 2.28.050D of the Rio Grande Municipal Code regarding the meeting of the Senior Advisory Commission.
Okay. We have a motion, and is there a second?
I'll second that.
Motion and a second. Discussion? Hearing none. Roll call.
Councilmember Costello?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Arnold?
Yes.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
Councilmember Fellows?
Yes.
And Mayor Ferrara?
Yes. Thank you. 11B, consideration of an ordinance amending Section 10.08.06B of the City of Aurora Grande Municipal Code. Steve.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and members of the council. And this was an item drafted jointly with the city attorney and myself, but I'll do the initial staff report here. In November 2004, the City Council adopted an ordinance to prohibit solicitation at entrances to commercial parking areas and in the public right-of-way, and that was to prevent the traffic safety hazards that were created by those types of activities. Some exemptions were included for nonprofit organizations in parking lots with the consent of the property owner, but not in public right-of-way. However, since that time, staff has identified some instances where specified activities may be appropriate to allow in the public right-of-way that will not result in any traffic safety hazard. I think one example that can be provided is the Fire Association's Fill the Boot program that they do annually to raise money for the Muscular Dystrophy Association. Therefore, staff is recommending some minor modifications to the ordinance that would give some flexibility to be able to...
Any?
No.
Okay. We'll also entertain any comments from the public. Patrick, do you want to comment on this? Anything? Okay. Your name was mentioned, by the way, on occasion. Just some background on this. So we got that straightened out, I think. Yeah. You were famous. It came to me, actually, from the League of Cities. Okay. Then no public input on 11B. We'll bring this back for discussion, final discussion, and a motion, and we'll start with Councilmember Guthrie.
Yeah, I don't have any trouble with supporting this. I think it just clarifies some of the things that have already been taking place and includes them in the ordinance. I don't have any trouble with it. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Costello?
I agree. This is just cleaning up the language of the ordinance and refining it to make certain that we continue to protect the public safety and yet provide some sort of mechanism to regulate legitimate uses that do not violate public safety. I can support this.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Fellows, I'm sorry.
I'm fine with it, too. Thank you.
Okay. Mayor Pro Tem?
I have no problem with this ordinance. Thank you.
Okay. I'm all in favor as well.
Mr. Mayor, I'd introduce an ordinance to the City Council of the City of Arroyo Grande amending Section 10.08.060B of the Arroyo Grande Municipal Code.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Further discussion? Hearing none, roll call.
Councilmember Costello?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Arnold?
Yes.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
Councilmember Fellows?
Yes.
And Mayor Ferrara?
Yes. Thank you. That takes us to item 12, City Council Reports. I'm first up on this, I guess. Council of Governments, let's see, we have not met since I gave my last report. The Executive Committee did meet, however, and I think it was at the last, two council meetings ago when we talked about, I think I brought up the issue of job generations and the regional traffic model. And some of the tables that were being used. I have a real issue with this, and it apparently is not going to go away. And so I meant to get this to you in advance, Steve, but we can pass this on to Rob. But and in sync with our general plan states that in 2005 we had a population figure of 16,330. We had 7,940 jobs in the city. They're projecting a population in 2030 consistent with our general plan of 20,300, but the job generation is 13,040. So what we have here is a population increase of 3,700 people, and we have a job increase of 5,100 for the city. That assumes that every man, woman, and child that comes into Arroyo Grande, all 3,700 of them are going to be employed, and it also assumes that an additional 1,400 people from the outside are going to be employed here. The point that I was trying to make with SLOCOG is that, yes, we expect to generate more jobs, however, not at this rate, and certainly not, and the fact that they are certainly not considering the fact that we have a large retirement population here. People come here so they don't have to work anymore. And we also have, I think, probably one of the highest rates of home-based businesses here. So those factors in and of themselves, when we put this in the context of a regional traffic model, I think need to be explored. And I know in talking with the SLOCOG staff, they seem to think that we gave them the nod of approval on this, and I don't believe that quite occurred. So what I would like, Steve, with the permission of the rest of the council, is to have this come back and have us take a hard look at this. And I think Rob has this material. But if I can get a consensus from the council that before this goes forward as gospel, and I think we all know what happens when, even though this would appear in a regional traffic model, somebody for some subsequent study is going to grab this matrix and treat it as gospel and run with it. And I would just assume that before that happened, we deal with accurate information. So I'd like us to unwrap this at some point in the future and just to have Rob give us a pitch on it and do it within the context of our general plan.
Can I ask just a quick question?
Yeah.
On that, this relates to the meeting that you've asked me to attend on Thursday, which is the baseline. They're establishing the baselines for 2050.
So the staff knows that the SLOCOG staff knows that we're going to be dealing with this, and they've pretty much tabled our piece of this until we get it resolved. So now I'll put it here, and I won't have to mess with it when we get to council member items. The sanitation district, I've attended all of those meetings. Things are going well at the plant. No extraordinary issues to bring up with regard to the sanitation district. And that will take us to the Mayor Pro Tem, Integrated Waste Management and EVC.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Integrated Waste Management had its first meeting of the year last week. I did attend. The primary issue that came out of that right now is the county is looking at an ordinance dealing with plastic bag disposal. There is a state law that prohibits placing any kind of fee on the use of plastic bags at grocery stores, but there is not a restriction on banning the use of plastic bags. And so the board's attorney is going to be meeting with all the city attorneys to discuss possible ordinances, anywhere from banning the use of plastic bags at grocery stores, as well as potentially adding a fee on other plastic bags. So we'll be seeing that coming forward in the future. EVC, the wine study that they did was released, I believe it was beginning of this month or beginning of March. And obviously, I think everybody understands the wine industry has a big impact on the county. But the one number that actually came out of it that was really surprising to me, and I'm going to give approximates, around 1997, there were, I believe it was 23 wineries, and currently there are over 220. And I think that just was a number that I know there's a lot of them, but I didn't realize how many. So
I thought maybe you personally visited.
I haven't. I think I've visited one in the entire county. So, now I have a goal. So, and then under other, after our last discussion on the off Highway Park in the Oceano Dunes, I had a chance to talk to Rick Castro, the president of the Arroyo Grande Hospital, because there was some concerns as far as what is the impact with the park on them. And
okay. Councilmember Guthrie. Oh, I'm sorry, Councilmember Costello, Zone 3 and Air Pollution Control.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Zone 3, we met on the 15th and got another update on the slowly approaching release program, and hope that that will still come to pass. All things seem to be functioning fairly smoothly in terms of Zone 3 operations. We approved the budget for the coming year. It was interesting that a comment was made during that meeting about the budget for the recreation use at the out of the lake, and that budget does not come before the board or come before the Zone 3 panel for review. And we've asked that in the future that do come before us. There were some changes made in it, and we thought that it would be better to have that. So that will be coming in the future. Air Pollution Control District has not met. We do meet tomorrow, so I'll have to report the next time. Fire Oversight Committee, cooperation between Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande continues to move forward and is working well. It'll be fascinating to see how things go under Chief Hubert. Consolidation Oversight Committee met last on the 2nd of the month, and we're looking for some economies of equipment, and perhaps we're going to be surveying out some surplus equipment between the various agencies that are involved and adequately or fairly dividing up the proceeds from that, and continue to look towards consolidation on an eye towards dispatch functions. And I think we're making some real progress on that. We may have some significant things to report on that in the fairly near future. And I think that pretty much covers my report.
Okay, thank you. Now, Councilmember Guthrie.
Actually, I wanted to ask Councilmember Costello a real quick question on the dispatch. There was a report that was produced, a consultant's report. Is it available?
Steve, is that report available?
Has it been completed, and is it available to to review? There was a report created on the feasibility study for the dispatch, or that's what I'm going to call it. I'm not sure that's what its actual name.
Right. It's still being prepared. We think we're pretty close to completion. The expectation is that the next oversight committee meeting that that'll be presented, but we don't have a completed copy at this point.
SCAT has not met. They meet the middle of next month. But I do want to announce
the one that I missed, South County Youth Coalition. I was down at the League of California Cities Planners Institute in San Diego, which was really a very worthwhile junket, I think. And if you like, I can tell you just a little bit about the programs I was able to attend.
We can do that in council communications.
Okay. Hold on.
So no report on these two?
No.
Okay. We'll go to item 13, city council member items. Anything?
I don't have anything on the anything planned, but in light of some of the comments we heard tonight, the one comment about pet sales at the new Petco, is there anything we need to be looking at in terms of that, something we might want to bring forward?
How do the rest of you feel on taking a look at that? With all of the attention that this city and the council has paid to spaying and neutering and the overcrowding of our shelters and all of the rest of that, I would think that might be something we want to examine.
I think so.
But how do the rest of you feel?
Let me just ask if staff knows, does San Luis Obispo have a ordinance against? I'm just surprised that there would be such an ordinance, but
I'm not aware of it. We can look into that issue.
I guess one deal would be just the opening to it would be, why don't we ask staff to check into that and copy us in written format on whether there's really any direction we could take here. I would be surprised that there is such a they just must feel there's no market there, but I certainly it is San Luis Obispo.
Well, maybe we can not just look at San Luis Obispo, but maybe we could just, do a web check or something and see if ordinances do exist and the reason and rationale for them. And I suspect it's the pet overpopulation issue and trying to encourage people to, if they want a pet, to, go to the Humane Society or the shelter. Would it be okay if we did that?
I'd be happy with that, yes.
And then we can decide what we want to do after that. Yeah. And we'll just get an info.
I just can suggest we start with info before we start a public input. And it's just something that I just don't think we want to be on the leading edge of, is what I would say.
We're doubtful there's a lot of city ordinances out there, but there are a lot of...
A wonderful thing for a pet store to sponsor in lieu of, selling pets. So
we'll check with them, and I think animal regulation probably has some inspections that they do, and they have some animal control regulations.
Okay, if we could take a peek at that, and maybe you could just shoot us some information, and we'll go from there. Anything else on council member items? City manager items, anything, Steve?
No, not under city manager items, no, thank you.
Okay, Council Communications, Councilmember Fellows.
Regarding the Planners Institute, a very impressive list of presentations. I was able to attend over half, I think, mainly because the others were overlapping. So I did what I could. I think there must have been 700 or 800 folks, maybe 600 to 700 attendees. It was amazing. And when the various presenters would ask the question in order to know who they're talking to, who is there, most of the attendees were either brand-new planning commissioners, a few experienced planning commissioners, and some planning directors and so on. I was kind of disappointed we didn't have anybody in that category there. But I think I learned a little bit and I can bring back some information that in the book if you'd like to take a look at it. The presentations I went to were one which I call the potential for California growth. The speaker said that over the last 70 years, California has gained 500,000 people a year, and he thought all into the future it'd keep on happening. So he wasn't too disappointed. Well, he wasn't too pessimistic about the growth of California. He felt people were going to keep coming here. The next one was avoiding litigation by identifying a project's impacts, then crafting conditions of approval that mitigate impacts, and drafting findings that support conclusions. Again, avoiding litigation being the operative phrase here. Also, analyzing a general plan. Is it good? Is it working? That fellow said he gave, I think, the talk that he usually gives at a university in a day, in an hour. So it was pretty hard to absorb most of it. One on pros and cons of parking meters, very interesting. When I thought of parking meters, I thought of meters that stand on a stick, because I'm stuck back in the past. He says, you know, people who in Europe, they pay their parking dollars, or that can withstand a challenge that was put on by the city attorney for Santa Monica and Lomita. Addressing concerns regarding affordable housing, title that was "Here Comes the Neighborhood," and then making better use of public input by recognizing and understanding generations. I'm a traditionalist, pre 1946. I think our mayor is a boomer, and some others are Generation X. I don't know, Ed might fit in that one, and the millennials. From 1982 to born in 1982 to the year 2000. And the point was, oftentimes if we have a big audience, we have four generations, maybe five generations coming up that would be out there speaking to us and trying to understand what goes on, and we have to try to understand a little bit more about the various generations in order to do our job as well as we can. The workbook does have copies of the PowerPoint presentations if you'd like to take a look at it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Any other council communication? Just a couple quick items. I'm sure everybody who's involved knows, but I believe the Mayor Pro Tem and myself and Councilmember Costello are headed down to the League of Cities Policy Committee's meetings this week. Is that correct? And Steve, were you going to say something about the Tribune tour?
I wasn't, but I can.
Well, I'll just make a quick mention. We had the pleasure of chauffeuring the.
President and publisher.
President and publisher of the Tribune, Chip Vissi and Bill Morum and some of the Stephanie and some of the editorial staff. Sandy Dewar was here as well. Bob Cuddy. Names that you see in the bylines in the Tribune came down, and we had a very nice tour with them. Steve and Kelly did a wonderful job of organizing that tour and laying out the highlights, and the whole purpose behind it was to reach out to the media and let them know that even though we may have an emotional meeting and a decision may be made, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that's the end of the story. In many cases, as you well know, we continue to work towards closure and towards a mutual win on some of these issues. And unfortunately, when that happens, we don't. The Academy is going to be sponsoring its executive forum towards the end of July. And as I mentioned, I'm the president of that department for the league this year. And the reason why I mentioned that this evening is that we have a lot of new workshops. Chuck mentioned the workshops that he went to. Sometimes when you go to these league events, you look at the agenda and you see sort of the same old thing. This year, we've got some really exciting events coming up, new workshops that we've never offered before. One of them in particular will be starring our own Jim Bergman and Bob Lund, who will be coming up to Monterey and giving a workshop on America in Bloom and also Arroyo Grande in Bloom, and that's going to be a wonderful program. The other reason why I mention this is because we need facilitators, we need moderators for some of these sessions, and this would be an opportunity for for some of you, perhaps, if you've not had the opportunity to facilitate or moderate a session, a work session for other mayors and council members and introduce speakers and so on and so forth, we could sure use some help.
When is that going to be, Tony?
I'll get the dates for you. It's the I think it's the third week in July. And I also have a draft agenda that I'll share with you at the next meeting. But if you could check your calendars, it's not that tough to get up to Monterey, and it'd be a nice experience, and we could sure use your help if you're interested in moderating. And those are all my comments and staff communication. Steve?
Just wanted to confirm again the scheduled budget study session. It was a little difficult this year with city council schedules. So I think we were proposing to stick with the May 16th date at 7 o'clock. As I understand it, we will be missing one council member. But we had very little flexibility in terms of being able to modify those dates, because we have a window, you know, a short window there where we can get that in before we need to bring it forward to council for formal consideration. So wanted to make sure everybody else had that on their calendar and give you one last opportunity if you have concerns with that date.
What time?
It'll be 7 o'clock.
I'm out of town.
I thought you were out of here.
So that date doesn't work, does it?
Okay.
It works as well as anyone else is out of town.
I don't know what our options are.
We could, we can possibly get by with one. We may have to look for another date. We can talk.
Because okay. I think you're gone the week after, aren't you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why don't we all look at our calendars again, and Steve, you can get in touch with us and see if we can come up with a plan B.
Yeah, maybe if everybody could email me dates, because we're getting into the summertime, close to summer. But if you could email me dates in May that you're not available, and then I can see if I can work around that. That would be the most helpful, I think.
And we should probably get those out as quick as we can to Steve.
There is, I know it puts you in a real bind, but there is a fifth Tuesday in May. Yeah.
It is in May.
I'm just determined. Yeah, I think that would be
Memorial Day, right after Memorial Day.
It would be tight. The thing is, we want it far enough advance in the first meeting so that the changes that come up, we have time to incorporate it before. So any changes that came up, basically we'd have to have those changes incorporated by the following
you'll have the possibility is that might work. Draft of it available earlier that everybody can provide, which I know we do kind of one-on-one, but maybe doing a more formal draft of it in the 15th or something.
Well, do we want to shoot for that, 5th Tuesday in June? Fifth Tuesday in May. That's completely.
And so that's the Tuesday 29th. Following the Strawberry Festival?
It's the
29th. Works for me.
Does that work for everybody?
Works for me.
I'll throw out the caveat. It works for me, I think. The only thing is my son made it the DI to state, which is this weekend, and we didn't expect him to get that far. So the concern is that they keep overshooting the expectations. Yeah. I believe that is the weekend when they would go to nationals. And so if they did, we would probably be there. So that's the only – we still might be back on by Tuesday. That may not be a problem, but I just throw that out there. Other than that, that's the only issue I would have.
Does that work for
you? No, sir. Thank you.
All right. That takes us to item 17, community comments and suggestions. Anything, Steve? Okay. Then takes us to item 18, adjournment.
So moved.
Okay.